guests in the intimate environs of Sookrum's Tap Room. Spend a Sunday afternoon enjoying song selections from one of your favorite radio hosts and stripped-down performances from some of the city's best artists while enjoying a tasty beverage or two. This free event happens monthly at Sookrum's Tap Room, located at 479B Warsaw Avenue. But like a rotating tap, each one is unique with a new host and slate of performers. For more information on Sunday sessional dates and details, visit the event calendar at umfm.com and come join us at Sookrum's.
Have you any idea of the value of the instruments you've broken?
In actual equipment smashed and useless, I would say probably at least 6,000 quid. You know?
Now, why basically do you do this? Is it just to build excitement?
Well, when we first started, we were looking for ideas which were big musically and visually, and eventually we just started to smash it, and it went down so well that we've been doing it ever since.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5, broadcasting at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba. Remember, no matter what your mother told you, smashing things is good. Located in Unit 201 at 1109 Henderson Highway, Planet of Sound is 100% Manitoba-owned and proudly independent, your top-notch source for new and used music, video games, and movies. With more than 16 years in the business, Planet of Sound specializes in helping you find that special item to round out your collection. Open Monday through Friday from noon until 8 p.m., Saturdays from 11 until 6 p.m. Visit Planet of Sound today and check out our large assortment of compact discs, vinyl, DVDs, Blu-rays, video games, apparel, collectibles, and more. Planet of Sound, Unit 201 at 1109 Henderson Highway. Purveyors of great music and good times since the year 2000.
In Canada, being gay doesn't make you a national security threat, but for nearly half a century, it did. Until the 1990s, Canadians working for the armed forces, RCMP, and federal public service were targeted based on a suspicion of their sexuality. Phones were tapped, people interrogated, over 9,000 careers and futures destroyed. And then, people pushed back. Visit Love in a Dangerous Time, Canada's LGBT Purge. Exhibition on now at the Canadian Museum for Human Rights.
Hello and welcome to Album Authority, the 80th episode, in fact, and of course, I am your host, the Album Authority, and you know, when I say your host, I mean it, because I am one of you. I am your champion in these ivory walls of power of big radio, in this business of suits, bribery, moral decay, and just cutthroat business that is campus radio. I am one of you. I am the people's champion. I'm your guy, okay? And much like all of you, you know, I'm human. And I've been gone now for, 3 weeks? And I'm going to be honest, guys, and say that 3 weeks was pretty good. It was good to be able to basically fully focus on my university work. Because after all, I'm just a humble servant of the people, and I also have to get a degree. I just have to get like a nonsense degree. Basket weaving degree. You know, that's what I'm doing. But you know, nothing can last forever, and it's time for me to come back. Come back the gospel and spread the gospel of the album and its format. And I know I lean a certain way music wise. You know, it's only normal to have certain preferences and a certain taste, but I don't exclusively listen to 90s alt rock, 80s and 90s alt rock. Today, you know, like the man of the people that I am, I have 90s pop music. You know, you see how incredibly diverse my music taste is? Well, you know, as you guys all know, as you real album heads will know, or is it Authority Heads? I forget the name. This season is above all, you know, an exploratory venture to explore my winding and developing music taste. And for the last few weeks, I'm going to be honest, most of what I've been listening to is just a ton of Madonna. And it all started when this guy on Instagram or whatever, you know, I don't know. Is he on TikTok? You know what I think he streams on, which is about to sound, I swear it's not as bad as it sounds. I think he's a kick streamer, which is just embarrassing to say out loud. But some British dude called Jimskin started going viral for dancing to Madonna's Into the Groove. I have no idea what this guy does. I don't know or endorse this guy. And considering he streams on Kick, I really don't want to associate myself with this man. But he does. I know that he does appreciate a good Madonna classic. And from there, me and my girlfriend were just playing a ton of Madonna songs. And I realized, you know, I've never listened to a full Madonna album. So I went through her catalog and kind of focused on the best albums according to Rate Your Music, which honestly is a great way to sort through an artist's catalog. And I found today's album. I would say this is tied with another album for me for her best. But today's album is 1992, Erotica. It is an incredible album. It feels very early 90s. As Madonna was, you know, she was really good at kind of riding cultural waves, I guess. And she kind of moved through different periods and styles pretty well and kind of transmuted different music into her own way. You know, and I don't necessarily mean this fully negatively, and I don't really, you know, I'm not going to die on this hill. And it's not the exact same, but she does kind of remind me of Drake in that way. You know, kind of in a cult, you know, I don't want to go as far as to say that Madonna was a culture vulture like Drake has been criticized as. But, you know, kind of similarly, you know, I don't want to insult Madonna, but, you know, she might have been a culture vulture. I don't know. It's not my place to say. I don't know. You know, we didn't really have the same standard or really care at the time, so it's not the same. You know, I'm not making a pure statement here. I don't think, you know, I may be the album authority, but I am not necessarily always the cultural critique authority. And thus, as an authority, I will be delegating such authority to the experts that are not me. Listen, guys, I'm getting a degree in global political economy, you know, basket weaving. I am not getting a degree in 90s cultural studies, though I feel like at this point I could probably teach a course on 90s Britpop. But what I do know, because of my expertise, is that this album feels very 90s because of its dance sound. I know I have a very British leaning, but it almost reminds me of the cultural wave of acid house and dance music in the UK. It almost reminds me of Primal Scream's Screamadelica, not just because it's a dance album, but kind of the same way that Primal Scream operated almost as like a cultural barometer throughout their career, going from the rave type Screamadelica to the more, you know, the twang of Give Out But Don't Give In, I think is what it's called, to the more nihilistic 2000 Exterminator. Madonna kind of, in my head, serves a similar position. So, you know, musically, this album is very dance-influenced. Madonna's always been more of a disco pop artist, but this is more of like a club, pure dance album, if that makes sense. But different. You know, I'd say that we've advanced as a culture when the description of this album from 2002 wrote of it as a melting pot of 90s urban music. Which, to me, you know, that just reads as different types of black music, which this album and generally Madonna is just inspired and a vector for into wider white culture. Again, you know, I don't want to go into the conversation here. I'm not the authority on this matter, but this album is Madonna's dance era. Though kind of all of Madonna, whatever. You know, this album is more Madonna doing house. More than her, like, 80s disco style. You know, the Wikipedia, what do you call that? Wikipedia outlet? I don't even know. What am I? Yeah, whatever. Wrote of it as a marking a departure from the four-on-the-floor disco romp that listeners came to expect from Madonna, focusing instead on heavy, cold, difficult, and unpleasant themes such as homophobia, queerness, female sex, and sexuality. Not only in the hottest moments of physical relationships, but in their darker, more intimate instances, particularly in relationship to the growing AIDS crisis, as noted by Portland Mercury's Jenny Wren Strodup. You know, this album feels like a more mature, more cold, more, and I've used this word a lot, but more cohesive album than a pop disco album. You know, I've been loving Madonna lately, really the variety of her albums and eras, but this might be my favorite of them all. I've said it before, I'll say it again, cohesiveness is what makes an album an album. And for me, this album is one of Madonna's most cohesive projects. It has the most consistent style and sound and themes than a lot of her other albums that just feel like some random songs and then a clear single. Not only will I explain later, as I am loved to do, but I will show you now, starting with the opening and title track, Erotica. And once again, this is off of Madonna's 1992 album of the same name.
Oh,
That was Erotica Fever, Deeper and Deeper, all off of Madonna's 1992 album Erotica. I love all these songs. They're all very similar, but serve kind of slightly different sounds and functions on the album. Erotica is a opening and title track, and I think serves both those purposes pretty well. It's nothing crazy. It sets the tone perfectly. It sets the not very hard to get. Ooh, hard to get. See what I did there? Erotic tone of the album, if you somehow haven't picked up on that already. I love the delivery of her pre-chorus of, "Give it up, do as I say. Give it up and let me have my way." I love her delivery of that. I suppose there's two different types of title tracks in my mind. And there's the intro title track, like this one here. And I think it uses its title to serve as a stage setter. You know, it's rarely the best song on the album. I think if the title track is the best song on the album, that's kind of an issue, actually. But it sets the stage. If the opening track is the best. It shows you what this album is going to be like. You know, it's like, here it is. This is the distilled taste of the album. This is what you're getting. Welcome to our creation. And then there's the mid-album title track that I think serves a similar role but has a different feeling to it. It's almost like a culmination of the album, if you will. They both have a different feeling, but their placement, or a similar feeling, but their placement just kind of means something different. Like, take Morning Glory, okay? It's not quite a title track, but, you know, it basically is. They literally say the name of the album while in that song. But it basically is. And it's like a statement song. You know, it's the mid-album essence of Oasis's sound, or of their more balls-to-the-wall rock part of their sound. And then I think of Disintegration, right? You know, the long song on The Cure's album of the same title. And that feels like a pickup in the album's pace after some two or three slower songs. And it really embodies the energy of the album and its range. It goes all over the place. You feel like you're going through a transformation. And if you can imagine this, a disintegration. Wow, that's crazy. See what I did there? But if you put any of these songs at the start, it feels completely different. They don't really embody the energy of the album, and I don't think it would work nearly as well. And really, again, you know, this is what I love so much about the album as a format. That just so much of these songs would not be as good or as impactful when they are divorced from their context. You know, and Fever is one such song. I think coming in as the second song on the album after the title track, it's more of the, you know, let's get into this here. Here's just the pieces. Here's what the pieces of this puzzle are like. The title track and the opening track are like, you know, this is what the full image of the puzzle looks like. This is all of it. And these are, you know, these are the pieces. And what they are, what these songs are great atmospheric driving dance songs. This song is actually a cover of an artist I didn't know and don't know, Little Willie John's song. That was written by Eddie Cooley and Otis Redding. Madonna's version is obviously very different than a blues or soul song. I don't really remember what it was. With its snare drums, the rhythms, the marimbas, which is, I love them on this. This song, honestly, of a lot of the songs on the album, this song feels very acid house. It has that light dance feeling to it, almost like something that 808 State does. I'm not saying they're the same. Obviously, please don't attack me and come to my house. But this song feels one of the lighter dance songs on this album. And I just love how groovy this song is. Groovy. I love the feeling Madonna sings with on the song. Her voice feels almost detached, kind of unaffected, kind of almost matching just the repetition of the music. Driving her voice along with the beat and kind of adding to an almost trance-like feeling that, when at its best, dance music can provide. And in general, I think Madonna's singing on this album is a lot more measured. She feels a lot more vocally in control and performing, if you will. You know, that kind of works for the feeling of sensuality, the allure of sex to the songs. You know, after all, in this controlled vocal manner, controlled measured vocal manner, Madonna is telling you to give up and do as she says. So that kind of, I think her performance kind of works there. As you can tell, I don't think Album Authority is a very sensual show. So this is a weird departure for our presentation today. I don't know why, but that immediately made me think of this clip of Jürgen Klopp getting an answer or a question from a reporter like years ago who had a very erotic voice. I don't know if I can find that, and it's not important. This is a random football reel that it's living in my head that I think I've begrudgingly showed my girlfriend who does not care. Deeper and Deeper is a less measured performance, however. I think it's more energetic, it's more passioned, and it does that while keeping in the style of the album, in the kind of driving, darker grooves. But what I love about this song, other than its kind of thicker musical range, with the layers of synths, beats, and actually physical instruments as well, that kind of feel both at odds and mesh together very well. All of this album is, as I love to always laud, and as I've just said, cohesive. That's why it's probably one of my favorites as a Madonna album. You know, I think of Like a Virgin, right? That's a better song. I think that title track is a better song than probably anything on this album. But it's part of a meh, not very cohesive album. You know, this album has a style. It has cohesive themes, and even if its highs are not as high, its lows are not nearly as low. It's more measured, it's more consistent. It's kind of cohesive themes and messaging around sex in a kind of contrasting time of the AIDS epidemic that made a culture of fear around sex alongside an increasing opening around it in the queer community. I think Madonna takes a lot from, really elevates this album in a really interesting way than kind of some of her other albums that may even have better songs, just don't do. In fact, you know, I think some writer theorized that this song, Deeper and Deeper, is about someone coming to terms with their homosexuality. And for that one, you know, I will let you guys decide. Another delegation of my authority, but this time to the masses I both represent and am of. You know, I don't think Album Authority is song interpretation. I don't think this is queer song interpretation authority. This is just, you know, vibes authority. It's what does an album as a whole mean. And I don't know what that song means. Honestly, it could mean less to me. I just like that I can put it on and kind of feel a driving dance song along top of it. And that's kind of what I think dance music does for me. That's kind of what it feels. And I know a lot of people can kind of deride it for that. But I think it works pretty well here, and I think Madonna kind of goes a good middle route of having messaging and themes alongside a dance music that sometimes can feel more shallow at its worst, I guess. But here's more of Erotica with one of my favorite songs off the album, and I think the lead single of the album, that is Bad Girl. Here you go.
I don't know why I was filled the need to hide my feelings. Well, I know from experience that if you have to ask for something more than once or twice, it wasn't yours in the first place. And that's hard to accept when you love someone and you're led to believe in their moment of need that they want what you want, but they don't.
That was Bad Girl, Waiting, and In This Life. I have been completely addicted to Bad Girl in the last few weeks. I don't know why. Like, it is a good song, but it is not that good. I have 40 plays of it in the last week, and I think I've been listening to this album for like 2 or 3 weeks now. I don't know. It just has such a replayable, familiar quality to it. I don't know what it is, but I feel like it never fully gets there, and not in a complaint. There's more to it. It feels like there's more to it. It could go somewhere more, but here it works, and I just keep coming back to it because I feel like it never hits the itch, you know? It never fully, like, scratches the itch. It only, like, tickles me, and I'm like, whoo, I want to have more. I feel like it's either in a movie, or it's a cover of something, or it's from my childhood. Like, something about the song just feels instantly familiar. I don't know what it is. It's one of those songs I feel like I've always known. It's incredible though. It's a really controlled, measured performance by Madonna. It really adds to the feeling of exhaustion in this song. Like through her kind of controlled singing, you can kind of feel her tiredness of this relationship. You know, the burden of being self-aware, of knowing that a lot of it is her own fault. And Waiting is a good song too. I don't have much to say about that that one as much. I don't know fully why I picked it or what makes it great. I just like it. It might be the weird. It might be the like brown that it has. Like let me. Yeah, that the brown. I don't know what it is, but I do love that part of the song. Wikipedia says something of like a sliding bass note, but I do not think that's what it is. I think it's confusing like the sound right before. That sound, which actually kind of reminds me of, what is that REM song? We Walk. As I've said before, you know, I don't know what that is. I don't know what a sliding bass note really is. I think I know. Like, if you told me that's what it was, I'd be like, all right, sure. I'm not a musical genius here. You know, as I've said before, my authority is one of the masses. I operate in vibes, not musical theory. I don't really know notes. And I don't know, if you told me what a note was or what it wasn't, I would be like, sure. Is that an E or a G? I don't know. But, you know, and Bad Girl creates a great, infinitely replayable vibe. It also has a really good music video. What is that? Oh, is that? I think it has Christopher Walken in it. And it adds to the vibe. I recommend that you guys watch. Also, Madonna has a really good live performance of this song on SNL that's on YouTube, so there's that too. I recommend that. Vibes-wise, Waiting contributes to the album. It's a good, like, album cut that contributes to the style and themes. It's kind of placed between two titans here, and it doesn't compare to Bad Girl or In This Life. And In This Life is, honestly, a surprisingly moving song. And I don't say surprisingly because of the subject matter, but because of the fact it's from Madonna. You know, I don't really think of Madonna in serious terms, or as, no offense, really an artist that made moving music, but this song about her friends that she lost to the AIDS crisis is really powerful, and it's you know, it's really clearly about the AIDS crisis in the gay community, with the line, you know, shouldn't matter who you choose to love, and it's a pretty touching song. The kind of slow, orchestral, almost ballad-like instrumentation provides a really great stage for the lyrics, for the kind of touching tribute to the friend she's lost. And it's a kind of a dark song, asking, you know, if there's a lesson to be learned. If she's asked if we watched our best friend die and prays for in the AIDS crisis to end. You know, I'm sure it's not the most groundbreaking song, even about this subject, or most important song for that matter. But for Madonna, you know, I was really impressed. And that's not to disparage Madonna either. Not all music is meant to be profound and emotional music. Sometimes it's just good pop. And, you know, and Robert Christgau kind of seems to agree here. And he wrote in 1992, "To start, let's pretend that we have nothing against dance music. That instead of fixating on the impersonal and mechanical and all those obvious things, we can just enjoy it for what it is, as innocently as babes. Come on now, really try. Got it? Good. Because now I'm going to suggest something even harder, that we pretend we've never heard of Madonna. I know it's like asking you not to think of a purple polar bear, so just pretend to pretend. If you know what I mean, which is as good as postmodernist children, Now let's put the record on. Hear those bass and synth beats, sinuous and subtle and sexy, aren't they? How about the faux Arab electro on words? And aren't the techno elements all nice and cheesy futuristic?" And you know, closing with Robert Christgau's A rating, here is local artist Tired Cossack's recent single Groceries for his upcoming album. There's also an album release show on the 24th of April at the WEC that I will be at. I'd say don't come up to me and tell me, hey, you're the album authority. But thankfully, you know, this is an audio format and my physical identity and form is unknown. But if somehow you figure out what my physical form is. I think you've earned the right to make me uncomfortable and kind of frightened by the idea that I'm being perceived. So anyways, here is Tired Cossack Groceries, and thank you all, and I will see you all next week.
Reaches of the galaxy since 1998.